We're no gender for no.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It is a Friday. It's a Friday morning. And how are you this Friday morning? Well, thanks for joining us. And it's always good. I was listening to the boss. It's always good to listen. I mean, to have the boss around. And thanks to David having him in the studio. Sometimes it's very difficult getting him in the studio, so but it's good to have him, and also bring his as usual, bring those bold ideas and the way he speaks, anyway. So yeah, thank you guys in Windhoek. Thank you for crossing over to Ondangwa. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio at this minute. So we will be with you from now on until the hour of 10 o'clock, and then we move to you again. And when we cross you over again, back to Windhoek for Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. So good morning. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. The views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation. So you can be part, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So at our time, it's about 8 minutes past the hour of eight. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today is the 3rd of October. And as usual, we start with our segment on this day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa on the 3rd of October? So in 1993... on October the 3rd, in 1993, U.S. forces, part of the United Nations mission, attempted to capture Somali warlord Mohamed Farry Aidid in Mogadishu. So the operation escalated into intense urban combat after Somali militia men shot down two U.S. Black Hawk helicopter. You remember the movie Black Hawk Down? So quite a very good movie if you can watch it, you know. So the battle resulted in the death of 18 U.S. soldiers and an estimate of 1,000 Somalis, making it one of the deadliest incidents involving U.S. troops in Africa. So on this day, on the 3rd of October, in what was the in what was called Upper Volta, now Burkina Faso, Maurice Yemeogo was re-elected president in one-party election. So it was not a contested election. So he was the sole candidate. So voter turnout was extraordinarily higher, about 98.4%. So, yeah, basically, well, that's what we have for you today on this day in Africa, on this day and in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? That's all what we have for you this morning. So on Friday, the October the 3rd, what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? Maize cannot get justice in a chicken court. Maize cannot get justice in a chicken's court. So the proverbs means that it is impossible to get a fair treatment from those who have vested interests in exploiting you. So it highlights the inequality of power and conflict of interest between the oppressed, like the maize, and the oppressor or biased judges like the chickens. Now, the chickens representing those in authority or judgment can only care only about their own interest and will never give a fair chance to the maize, the victims. So the Proverbs warns against trusting those with a history of injustice or corruption or bias, and encourage seeking justice from a neutral or impartial source. So the proverb serves as a critic of system and institution where power is abused, and also where justice is compromised. So the proverb serves as a critic of system and institution where power is abused and justice is compromised. So the maize cannot get justice in a chicken's court. That's our thought for the day. Hopefully that help you in your decisions and choices that you make throughout the day, that the judgment that you make are more fair and just. All right. So, yes, welcome. Our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. So what we can expect today in our show, so we're looking at what the RWE exit from the green hydrogen means for Namibia's green energy future. And we're going to look at that. It has been in many publications that the German's giant RWE has exit the or has withdrawn from the green hydrogen project in Namibia in hyphen hydrogen. So we're going to look at that, and we will have the spokesperson, green hydrogen spokesperson. We will be talking to Mr. Musheko on Namibia's green energy's future because of that, and we will do that in just probably in a few minutes. So, and if we still have time, we're going to look at the health handle, the health hurdles for civil servants in terms of CIMA. There has been some change from the Ministry of Health. So we're going to look at that. We're going to go into that a bit as well, if we still have some times. So make sure that you stay tuned. And so we will be back in a few seconds.
Omutia with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Kotamuni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saitanina, Omeguro, Nida Ditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, Way 20 Mimiha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara ompashi pareki wimopo yomo programa yetu moambo lengera selma kodara heta tuimu datu datu heari hamano tano o niaj Eagle FM
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Unpacking the Day, where we dive into the stories shaping Namibia's future. And today, we are talking about what the recent news regarding German energy giant RWE withdrawal means for the ambitious green hydrogen project planned for Lüderitz. So there have been a bit of a question mark hanging over the deal. Some reports suggest RWE has pulled out, while others say no firm agreement was ever in place, actually. So this has understandably led to a lot of discussion and some concern as well about the momentum of Namibia's green hydrogen's ambition. To help us unpack all of this, we are incredibly fortunate to have with us today Jonah Musheko, the spokesperson for the green hydrogen program. Jonah, thank you so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day. So, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you and the listeners. I hope you can hear me clearly.
Okay, so yeah, let's join us. So the listeners that are tuning in, who might not been up to speed, can you just briefly describe the overall vision and the progress Namibia has been making with its green hydrogen ambition before we get into the specifics of this RWE situation?
Well, thank you so much. And I think I should also appreciate at this moment the platform given to us.
Yeah.
It's always to pass through our message and talk to the public and update the public on what is happening.
Yeah.
In this specific sector. I think it will be also fair that I quickly just briefly highlight what we are doing in Namibia and what we intend to achieve after all.
Mm.
The green hydrogen or green industrialization, really, it's a conversation initially started as an initiative to complement the existing key major economic activities or complementing what is already there.
Yeah.
And it was initially, I'm saying initially, the original thought was to just produce the green hydrogen.
Yeah.
And most of it, we were supposed to, you know, have it destined for other countries. That was the original thought. But as R&D happens and we continue, you know, finding out new research and findings, such as the issues of the demand, global demand of green hydrogen, we came to the point where we needed to change the line of thought and how we approach this industry in terms of green hydrogen.
Yeah.
To say, globally, the consumption of green hydrogen or the demand of green hydrogen is not so high yet. But obviously, that's where the world is thinking towards, and there is still continuous utilization of, you know, fossil fuel and other type of hydrogen.
Mm.
And the only way we can tap into the global market that would want now clean products or green products, if we may put it, is for us to use that, produce green hydrogen and use it to process products or minerals or whatsoever in Namibia.
Yeah.
That will then harvest the good prices globally, or what we call as lucrative prices globally. And that is now a key base to us thinking of utilizing green hydrogen locally to process what we have here, add value to it, and use it to add value to other products. And those products are the same products that we can sell globally to European countries or to any other countries globally, whether it's Africa here in Africa or whether it's in Europe.
Yeah.
That is the new thinking that we started off, and that gave birth to quite a number of projects and how we are thinking as a country. I will give you practical examples of projects that we have that are not just thinking, but are already doing what we wanted to start thinking about and doing.
Yeah.
I give you Iron Oshivela, which is using and producing, as we speak, green hydrogen, but not for export purposes.
Yeah.
It's to use that to process iron ore. And what you get out of that is you will get direct reduced iron ore, which you can then sell to the global market, which will really yield good prices in terms of markets that desire to buy products with less carbon print. And we also have got another project, which is Clean Energy Solution Namibia. We're also looking at how do we use clean hydrogen to, you know, come up with a new product or a product that can also be utilized at the global space in shipping and all type of, you know, mode of transport.
Yeah.
Again, that is the approach that all these approaches are, you know, speaking to our new thinking of using green hydrogen to come up with products that can be, you know, on high demand in the country. As we speak, we have about six projects, green hydrogen projects, that are ready to continue investing in Namibian economy.
Yeah.
In terms of coming up with industries, setting up industries here in Namibia to be able to produce green hydrogen and eventually export products that are coming from green hydrogen, or what we call derivatives. So we have all this space that is ongoing, and obviously we cannot do this as Namibia in isolation. We need international players. We need off-takers, some of these products. We need cooperation with global players that will be able to also, not just for off-take purposes, but also for improved and continuous research and development, and how better can we modify and, you know, refine what we are producing in Namibia using green hydrogen. I think that's what we have been busy so far with, in brief, without really spending much time. I'm looking at the time.
Yeah. So concerning the recent news, could you elaborate a bit more on what kind of discussion, or maybe let's say agreement, were in place with RWE for this project?
So RWE is linked to the hyphen hydrogen, you know, project, green hydrogen project, which is a project that the government has got shares.
Yeah.
As we speak, they are in the feasibility study stage, whereby by next year, around end of the year, December, they should be concluding that feasibility study.
Yeah.
And that will be to collect sufficient data for them to get to final investment decision, which is literally a decision that tells all the shareholders and investors, potential investors, that yes, the project has got economic, you know,
viability,
and it is also accepted socially, and all the factors in terms of environment and so whatsoever, they are all in place, and we can proceed investing our money there and proceeding with the project. So as we speak, we are at that stage of the project. Hyphen intends to produce quite a number of green hydrogen, but in terms of processing that into green ammonia, I think looking at about 1 million to 2 million metric tons per year.
Yeah.
And the market obviously ranges from Africa, SADC. If you look at, for instance, South Africa, we have a potential to be able to sell some of that product to South Africa, because obviously they have a lot of components that they have to still decarbonize in terms of their industries. And also looking at the linkage between that demand and them catching up with the CBAM regulations that should become effective by next year, January. Those are some of the regulations that the European Union are imposing on whatever coming into the trading block. But now, with Hyphen, part of what they have to have on board is obviously the number of off-takers for these products they intend to produce.
Hmm.
And with now RWE is that they had initially, kind of a memorandum of understanding for something like a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
But it was not necessarily an off-take agreement. So it is very wrong for my colleagues that have been, publishing this kind of narrative that there was an off-take agreement. There was no off-take agreement.
Yeah.
What was there was mostly the demonstrated interest. And before we can proceed, with this negotiation, we must have a kind of an MOU
yeah.
That speaks to how we deal with our confidential issues in terms of the two businesses between each other.
Mm.
So that is the agreement they had. There was no really an off-take agreement between Hyphen
yeah.
and RWE. So that is the first thing we needed. We need to make sure that it did not exist. But the interest was there.
Yeah.
So what happened is that RWE, I think recently or earlier in the year, have issued out a communication that they are trying to refocus the investment and their portfolio somewhere else, not much on clean hydrogen or green hydrogen globally,
yeah.
not necessarily focused on Namibia, but globally their interest on green hydrogen has been diverted to focus on other areas because of obviously the slow uptake in interest of green hydrogen globally.
Yeah.
And that is something for us that we have known. We since 2-3 years ago we knew the demand of green hydrogen is not as high as that's why we changed our approach and thinking to say, if the demand is not this high, let us then produce clean products that will be on demand and obviously will catch good prices internationally.
Yeah.
Without necessarily just focusing alone on clean hydrogen and export. So that's what happened. Now, there are other components that were obviously involved in this, all this, how this story came up, whereby we also have got a component of our community, some of the community members, through some of the traditional authorities that felt like, this project must not proceed because they felt like perhaps fair consultations are not done.
Mm.
So, I think that we can get into that later, but I wanted to answer the first part of your question first.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the concerning part is the RWE, where they mentioned the slow uptake of or slow than expected demand for green hydrogen product in Europe. So I think partly you answered that, but how does now the global demand affect Namibia's green hydrogen ambitions? How does that affect our ambitions now?
Really, like I said, we saw this quite a while ago, and I think it speaks to the new approach that I have just spoken about to say we see the demand of green hydrogen in the world, but we don't want to slow down in terms of production. What do we do? Let's produce green hydrogen. Let's use it locally to process our own minerals that eventually, can be, on high demand globally.
Mm.
That's what we are doing. I will tell you one specific industry. steel production or manufacturing, steel, the same steel that you have in, you know, on your car, the same thing that you use for, you know, iron sheet and all these type of things.
Yeah.
It's one of the industries that contributes so much in terms of carbon emission at the industrial level and the processing level because of the energy type that is utilized to heat up all these machineries in those industries.
Mm.
So they contribute about 9% in terms of carbon emission globally. And that is too much. And that's one of the industries that we call as hard-to-abate industries that we need to decarbonize in a way that there is less to zero carbon print in steel making. And steel is so much on high demand by car manufacturers, industries of different types. Everyone wants steel.
Yeah.
If it's in construction, you need steel. If it's vehicle, ship making, everywhere you need steel.
Yeah.
But the production of steel or the process of coming up with steel or processing steel, it's very much carbon intensive. You have to, you know, emit a lot of carbon.
Mr. Mshepo,
so what do we do?
We're quickly going to have a break, né? A commercial break, and we'll be back. Yeah.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right. So, yeah, now just finish the point you were making. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do? We see that steel is in high demand. What do we have in Namibia or in Africa that is the core input or ingredient of steel making? It's iron ore. Iron ore is the same product that you have to cook up and process so that you can get to steel.
Yeah.
So steel is in high demand. Africa has got a lot of iron ore deposit. What do we do to serve this market with a cleaner product? Because the global is obviously moving towards, you know, decarbonizing and all these issues of climate change. We are responding to climate change and its impact.
Yeah.
So what we do is to say, introduce a project like High Iron Oshivela. The main purpose of High Iron Oshivela is to collect, get steel, I mean, iron ore from either Namibia or South Africa, in the areas of, where there is a lot of iron ore deposit, process it, and you get direct reduced iron ore, which is semi-processed iron ore.
Yeah.
In one space, you are adding value to iron ore, an African mineral. So in that process of adding value, you have also captured now the element of, you know, value addition and also in the process creating some jobs, if we are to talk about jobs.
Mm.
But I want us to focus on a bigger picture as a country, because jobs eventually they will generate themselves if you look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So we take iron ore, we process it using green hydrogen, and we sell that iron ore, direct reduced iron ore, globally to those that want steel that is processed with less carbon print.
Mm.
That is now, I think a few days ago, you have seen High Iron Oshivela has entered into an agreement with Toyota Group. Toyota is the same company that makes all these cars we are driving here in terms of the same brand. They want those cars in future to be running as a vehicle. It has got less carbon print. Just imagine a Toyota made out of steel that is less carbon print and also maybe running on hydrogen or running as an EV, electrical vehicle. You have less carbon print type of product that can, you know, really attract good market. And South Africa is well placed for that.
Yeah.
They want to be able also to make and manufacture cars that can make it to Europe. South Africa, we speak, I think on a yearly basis, they export about 1 million units of cars to Europe. But these are normal cars made with the same steel that is dirty. But the dream and aspiration is to say, can we make cars with less carbon print using the steel that is processed with no carbon emission? And that is what we are doing.
Yeah.
Technology, we are innovation, we are doing, we are exploring and, you know, implementing at High Iron Oshivela, like just there near Arandis. So that is the aspiration. Whether the world continue to demand, the demand of hydrogen can move up and down like, numbers on a chart of Forex trading.
Mm-hmm.
it will not really affect what we are doing, because we have thought of it before, and we have actually now creating what the world demands in terms of a final or semi-final product. Hydrogen, we will still be able to export that, or green ammonia.
Yeah.
But if that is not on demand, then that is what we are also, if you look into our blueprint, green industrialization blueprint, there is a lot of industries that we can actually decarbonize, for instance, cement. And that is the aspiration. I should imagine that a cement that you have that has been processed with less carbon print. Cement is one of the products that is so much on high demand, more especially in Africa, where we are having a lot of countries developing, and development comes with a lot of construction.
Yeah.
And this is the thinking that we have, not just at the program, but in terms of real industrialization as a country, looking at a bigger picture.
Yeah. Now, looking at the at securing the vital offtake contract, what are the biggest challenges you have encountered so far in securing offtake agreements for Namibia Green Hydrogen?
One of the known challenge is obviously with, this is a new product we are trying to, you know, if you are selling green hydrogen, the challenge is that you are competing with an existing or with existing, you know, gray, brown, blue hydrogen that had been there for long. And they are not just existing for long, but they have also appeared to be very, very cost effective.
Mm.
Yeah. So your competition with gray and other hydrogen is very, very, very tight, that you must be able to prove a point that this product of mine is very worth it. And the only way you can do it is to make sure that you use your own product, process something that the world cannot refuse not to buy, like steel. But if we are to approach the world with just pure green hydrogen, then we should be worried about, you know, about the market and the demand. Because in that way, we are likely then to have, you know, factories and the setups that will turn into white elephant as soon as the world doesn't demand that.
Mm.
But if you give the world what the world continuously demand, which is now steel and cement and whatsoever, processed with green hydrogen, and also looking at the, you know, such as the trading bloc such as European Union, they have bigger ambitions to really decarbonize.
Yeah.
The CBAM regulations, if you study it very well, that is coming into effect by next year, it will apply to anything that will enter the European market in terms of now trading. And you wouldn't want to, you know, to miss out on such a market. Namibia exports so much to Europe. It's one of our biggest trading partners.
Yeah.
South Africa exports so much to Europe. They export so much to Europe. I think even next week there is something, there's a forum, I think it's called the Global Getaway, organized by Europe to see how best they can leverage on trading with African countrymen, other countries, but on a fair plate and table. So, but how do we position ourselves? Hydrogen itself perhaps may not have the really attractive, you know, prices. And because of its cost of production in other parts of the world, we might not really get the offtake.
Yeah.
But if we use hydrogen to process what we have here in Africa.
Sorry.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Just hold on a bit.
At ShopRite, we've got everything you need for baby and more at the lowest prices. Save big on baby essentials like Lovey's disposable nappies or pants, all variants from $139.
The marketing people are disturbing me.
It's part of sales.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
At ShopRite, we've got everything. everything you need for baby and more at the lowest prices. Save big on baby essentials like Lovey's disposable nappies or pants, all variants from $139.99 per pack. And 500 grams Nestle Nestum regular wheat or maize baby cereal at just $54.99 each. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save big on deals for baby. Prices valid until 5 October 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust always.
Well, we just make sure that we pay the bill here. All right. The other thing, are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, given the clarification when it comes to RWE, so what is the next concrete step for the project, really? And what can we expect to see happening in the coming months? So given what have transpired now?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, that the project currently is doing this with the feasibility study that should be concluded by end of next year.
Yeah.
Yes. So and with that, there's a lot of issues, a lot of matters and clarifications and documentations that they should have in place.
Yeah.
Part of that is the, I think we spoke about this offline yesterday, part of that is the social licensing.
Yeah.
Which is a component that speaks to you having a project in a place, in a specific community, in a specific area, and it must also be accepted by the people. Development must not be in isolation, it must not be isolated from the people. If you are bringing development into an area, it must also speak to, it must make sense to the people in that specific area.
Yeah.
But also, they should be, understanding from both the community on the areas where you are putting up that project and the investors or those that are putting up the project. So one of the key things that we are busy with, not just the project, hyphen project, but also at the program, where we have launched the strategic environmental social assessment, that should now include high component of consultation and making sure that we brief communities and we make the communities understand what does really green hydrogen entail and the type of project that we foresee happening, not just housing, but there is actually so much potential in, for instance, in the Karas region, to set up many projects in that space because of the nature of the resources that we have there. When I talk about the resources, I'm referring to sunlight, good sunlight, I'm talking about possible wind energy, I'm talking about availability of land, but the conflicting part is that the land we have, most of it in the Paris region, where now we foresee establishment of various green hydrogen projects and so on, is also a national park. And at the same time, such a national park is also part of the sites that are declared by the United Nations as a heritage kind of space.
Yeah.
So we need to find the balance between development and that development, how does it disturb the environment? Can we coexist in terms of development and the environment we are trying to protect? Because really, in that specific area, there is obviously, scarce land, type of landscape, the type of rocks, the type of animals there, that naturally may not be disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
But we as a country, as the people, we have got also social responsibility to say, we have got we have got to industrialize. We have got to obviously, create jobs and set up things. And some of the setups may happen in this environment. How do we set up development in an area that is sensitive in terms of, all this natural setup by looking at, succulent plants and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So we also have to make sure that apart from the communities and the people that are living in that area, we also have to respect the environmental laws. So we have to kind of balance, create a balance that the project is coming here. This is the level of disturbance that will be caused, obviously, in this specific area. And at what cost? with this project, how does it benefit the country? How does it benefit the people in that specific region?
Yeah.
Can we keep the land continuously virgin and instead not have development? Or should we have a balance somewhere to say we can do development, but in the respect of the environment? So that's one of the components that we have to really do in terms of continue doing consultation with the communities. I'm sure you have read about the Nema Traditional Authority, and they are also not so happy about this specific project because they feel like a lot is not yet done in terms of consultation. And that is, it's a good thing that we get this continuous voice from community members and groups so that we make sure that we do a thorough job before the project is constructed. And the project timeline is that by next year, we are still busy with feasibility and all these consultations. 2027, if everything goes according to plan, the feasibility study is informing us that yes, there is viability. There is viability in terms of the economic and the demand. There is also viability in terms of acceptance by the community and also adherence to environmental laws.
Yeah.
Then we can proceed.
Yeah.
But we must be able to proceed with a thorough and collective understanding by both of us, communities, the environment, if it could speak, and the investors.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're talking about the communities, there have been, as you probably alluded to, there have been concerns raised by the Nama Traditional Leaders Association regarding indigenous rights and land use on an ancestral land. So how does the Green Hydrogen Program approach these sensitive issues, and what mechanism are in place really to ensure that community rights are respected?
Yeah, and I think I've slightly touched on it, that we are not ignorant of the fact that, yes, this is a land that certain community has got the potential to say it's the ancestral land, which is right.
Yeah.
They have lived in that area for long. They that is where their ancestors lived. That is where some of their ancestors were buried. So it can be, it's not something that we are ignorant about, something that we highly acknowledge.
Mm.
And I think, like I said, that we are not going to implement this project and ignore the fact or the voices of the community. As I said, we will continue with consultation and engaging these communities and these groups to make sure that they understand us and what we are trying to achieve. It benefits not just to the project itself, but also it benefits, potential benefits to the country and also to the youth of that specific area and also Namibia at large.
Yeah.
So we will continue with consultation and engaging them. But we also want and expect the communities and the groups to say that, to understand that if we have to, change the status quo in terms of the standard living of our people, we should be able to accept development. Development comes in different natures. It may not necessarily just be green hydrogen. It could be any other project. It could be, kudu gas. It could be, anything else, mineral extraction. It could be anything, road constructions and so on and so on. How do we as communities now speak to our government in relation to what we feel about the land that is now our ancestral land?
Yeah.
And to what extent do we, really stick to, preserving that specific land? Like for instance, the National Park. It's a very huge, huge, huge park.
Yeah.
And this specific project of Hyphen, it's only planning to utilize not even more than 5% based on the data that we have so far.
Yeah.
Not even 5% of the park. Very minimal piece of land that is needed. And we would want their communities, and as we continue for them to have that understanding that this is something that will not just be here and having people that they don't know, but it will also require our own children to work at this specific project. And with that understanding, then we can be able also to solve, contribute to solving to some of the social problems of high unemployment, you know, having graduates that are have nowhere to go and, you know, work and all these type of things.
Yeah.
And I think you have highlighted the some of the figures in your posting when we spoke about this online,
yeah.
that this project is looking at least creating about 15,000 jobs during the construction phase. Everything goes according to the current plan,
yeah.
unless things change later, because anything can always change based on what we are finding and as time goes through this feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
And 3,000 will be able to work at the plant in its current format and aspiration. And most of these, we anticipate that they should come from this specific region.
Yeah.
Or two regions.
Yeah.
Obviously, we won't limit other regions to participate because in Namibia, everyone has got the right to participate anywhere in any economic activity. But the target is to say, how do we have major developmental projects in Karas region? We have seen that other regions may have certain projects, but we would want to at least balance the development or developmental projects in cases such as Karas region. Same as Kunene region.
Yeah.
We also have aspirations to eventually one day get to Kunene because we are also in the same potential, just more or less like the Karas region. So we'll continue with consultation through this session that we have just launched so that we make sure that after all we have got the community buy-in.
Yeah.
If there is no community buy-in, it will be very hard for us to implement a project of this nature. And unfortunately, when investors eventually say that, no, if the community does not accept the project, there is nothing you can do. You will have, obviously, just to let it be.
Yeah.
But you can't force a project into a community because you don't. Then there will be no ownership or what we call project ownership from the, you know, community level to be able even to protect the project and facilities of the project.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll continue doing.
Yeah. The other thing is the opportunity for entrepreneurs and small business. What opportunities still exist for entrepreneurs and businesses within small businesses within this new green economy?
There is plenty of opportunities, and as I keep preaching since last year or all these months, is to say, let us engage in the conversation, let us participate, let us ask the questions just like you're asking.
Yeah.
Let us be part of different sessions that are organized so that we understand. It is a new thing, yes, but if this new thing, if we understand it very well, we will be able to really find the plugs and how we plug it. There is nothing strange about it apart from the chemistry part of green hydrogen, you know, production itself, the separation of oxygen from hydrogen, electrolyzers. These are technical things that we may not necessarily need to have knowledge about.
Yeah.
But if it's construction, we have done construction in this country. I know Shivela, when it was established, phase one, they have had about 60 local companies that help them to establish solar installation, transport and logistics, construction itself, plumbing and pipe fitting, refrigeration. They had all these things that are on their site, and they had 60 local companies that assisted them to set up this particular plant. And that is just one. And as we speak, we have got also Dowries. Also, they are local. It's a local initiative by our own people, Namibians. And we would want also people to understand that there is nothing strange about it, that if we have sent about 180 students of Namibians under green hydrogen for renewable energy and green hydrogen related fields, for them to have specialized skills. And this is the same minds, and we wait them for them to come to their specific groups and participate at any level of value addition, whether it is transport and logistics, whether it is installation of electrolyzers, whether it is pipe fitting, special pipe fitting and connections. This is what we expect. As we speak, we have got an application that we have sent out, call for proposals of projects it's actually active on our website, on the project, the program website, where we expect people, Namibian people, to give us ideas what they think about when it comes to green industrialization. How do you get ideas on what to submit? It's, for instance, go through our green hydrogen industrialization blueprint. It gives you ideas. So this is how we expect our Namibian people to participate. You don't have to be a specialist chemistry or chemist. You can be a specialist in solar installation.
Yeah.
We have got potential to set up solar assembling plants in Namibia. Why? Currently, we import solar panels from China and other parts of the world. It's very expensive. But if you import raw materials or raw, you know, components of solar panels, you establish a plant that assembles them in Namibia,
yeah,
you can actually get a leverage on solar purchasing. Remember, green hydrogen projects, they are not supposed to be connected to any national power grid that is not clean.
Yeah.
Like our own grid, national grid power system.
Mm.
We can't, all the projects are not connected. If it's connected or if it's to be connected, it is because they are pumping in, electricity, green electricity or clean electricity coming from the solar panels. So we need solar panels. Haano Shivela has got installed about 42,000 units of solar panels on a 25 hectare of land. That's massive. And phase two of that, again, it will be bigger. It will be bigger. But who should do this? Our own people. How do we participate? It's when we follow the conversation. Let's ask the question. Let's reach out. The website, Musheko, the same Musheko that we knew at agriculture, that we had the flexibility to reach out as farmers. Yeah. Now as entrepreneurs, reach out. Doors are open. Reach out and call and ask, I want to understand this part. I want to understand this part. How do I plug in? I'm a specialist in this. How do I plug in?
Yeah.
Then we'll be able to direct you. And when this project, we have about 4 to 3 projects that by next year, if they get all their papers, they will all start construction at the same time. Haano Shivela, Hope Hydro, Clean Energy Solution, and then you talk about 2027 in terms of hydrogen. If they all get it right, and I think it was highlighted also by our Vice Chancellor of NAST recently at an event we had at Arandis, that if all these projects take off at the same time, we will have got a deficit of skilled people in this sector, 9,000 every year.
Yeah. All right.
Are we ready?
Yeah. That's the question. And how is the other thing is, how is the Green Hydrogen Program collaborating with other sectors like now agriculture or manufacturing to create that broader impact?
Let me start with agriculture. Our meeting point of agriculture is Daures. Daures is looking at, remember, phase one of Daures was more of a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they are moving on to phase two, which will become commercial. Pilot is to test the idea whether it's viable or not and make sure that everything is in place.
Yeah.
Phase two, now they would want to become commercial in a sense that use green hydrogen to come up with green ammonia and eventually produce fertilizer. As we speak, we spend so much money on fertilizer importation in the country. I came from the agriculture sector. I know the figures how much we spend on fertilizer and obviously other agriculture inputs. So much on fertilizer that cost of production in agriculture becomes expensive because of fertilizer, which is input, as well as electricity.
Yeah.
If we can have and solve that problem of fertilizer through DRS, and also solve the problem of power in terms of the power needed by green schemes, we can actually solve the issue of food security if we really want to solve it, unless we don't want to.
Yeah.
So there is a solution for that. Our aspiration is that Daures become as successful as we aspire it to be, for them to be able to produce, you know, the desired fertilizer, not just for the Namibian economy, but or agriculture sector per se, but also for SADC. That's the answer to the intervention and our meeting point with agriculture. In terms of other, sectors, say, for instance, construction.
Yeah.
I think this year we had a meeting with the association of what is this construction? This is an association that I think they're supposed to be for construction.
Yeah.
They also want to understand, because remember the construction, that all this construction I'm talking about, they will not happen. They will not. We are not going to call South African companies to come and build. It must be done locally. I think Haifen has got a target Mm. Everything goes according to plan. They have a target of making sure that about, I think, more than 50% of their procurement should be locally sourced.
Yeah.
Including even construction. High ion, hydro, Bowers, clean energy solution, all these type of projects, they require construction. Whether it is roads, whether it's pavement, whether it's solar panel installations and so on, we must be able to have an understanding from both players, because we can't build these things alone.
Yeah.
The colleagues at High Ionish Villa, these are specialists in water separation, splitting and connecting electrolyzers, batteries and so on, but they are not specialists in pipe fitting. They are not specialists in construction. They are not specialists in, lifting what electrolyzers, using cranes. When they were building the High Ionish Villa, they had the biggest crane in Namibia, two of them at High Ionish Villa from Walvis Bay. As a crane owner or as crane owners in Walvis Bay, how do you step on these opportunities?
Mm.
And I'm telling you another aspect of transport and logistics. We saw the other time that we had the transport. There was a transportation of wind turbines from the coast from Walvis Bay to Lüderitz, because there is a project there that is setting up wind turbines in Lüderitz because of good wind.
Yeah.
And that... it's like one component of a wind turbine. It has got usually three components on top that now spin around.
Yeah.
Just one piece of that requires a whole, delegation of 5 to 6 cars. The main truck, the big truck, which is a special transportation of such items. And also maybe two escorters, one in front, one at the back, and also traffic. So you see and it's just one blade. Yeah, they are called blades. One blade. And remember, these are just about 11 or so to be installed in Walvis Bay. We are looking at more than or around 600 wind turbines. Each turbine has got 3 of those blades. How much work of logistics do we have to transport from Walvis Bay to Lüderitz? Why are we using Walvis Bay? Because the port is bigger, and the port of Lüderitz cannot handle some of this equipment as yet.
Yeah.
So these are things that we want our people to understand and be like, oh, so when these projects are finally approved, I can go to the bank, get a facility to buy this type of truck, and be able to submit or get a contract with Hyphen so that I can be able to transport. I just want to transport, let's say, 10. There are 600 of them. You just want to transport 10 wind turbines and 3 of their blades. That's enough for you.
Mm. So we're running out of time. So are there any concern, given the setback with one potential partner, would that deter other investors from coming to Namibia? Or how are you working to maintain investor confidence?
There is definitely no concern in what RWE has, in terms of their changing their approach in terms of focus.
Yeah.
There is more, off-takers with the project is busy approaching and, having discussions with. There is no limit. So we are not worried at all.
Yeah.
It's really depending to other sectors. Remember, to unlock Hyphen, there are issues of environment, there are issues of, remember, this is a national park. You still need paperwork of the land to be sorted out. Whether it's the land lease, we need the paperwork of power generation, paperwork of, water extraction or setting up a desalination plant, because the aspiration is actually to set up a desalination plant. A desalination plant will be able also to save some water supplies to the Lüderitz area. I think last year you read in the paper in December that the Lüderitz, the municipality or town council was struggling with water. So if Hyphen come on board, they will set up a desalination plant and the surplus water will also obviously be sold to them through NamWater. Obviously, we are having a conversation with NamWater.
Yeah.
So these are things we are not worried unless it will be hindered by other technicalities, but not necessarily because of off-takers.
Yeah.
And maybe a potential risk could be if the community eventually, in as much as we plan to do more consultation in the community, if the community says no, unfortunately, it might be very difficult unless government really take a bold step. But we don't want that. We want a platform where all of us are happy, including the communities.
Yeah. Now, what is your overall message to Namibian or to the listeners who might be feeling uncertain or concerned about the future of green hydrogen in light of these recent developments?
I'll keep saying this, and I said this before, that I also want to anchor onto a conversation that Tate Walenga was having with David on risk takers and all this type of new way of thinking. As a country, we will not change. There's nothing that we'll do different if we don't change how we approach things, if we don't change how we think. We have to be able to participate in these new industries to us and be able to really be able to participate and benefit from it while we still have got the leverage to do that. Because if you look at the African continent, Namibia is not the only country where these investors and all these projects can come in. South Africa is so hungry to have everyone in this country be in South Africa. And that comes from not just project, even just human capital. Even just human capital, the people we have here, South Africa is so hungry to have. And you can see how serious they are. Next week, we have got a global getaway, global getaway forum, where we have got speakers coming from different countries, but more especially the European Union. It's a European Union forum where you have different commissioners, heads of president, president of the World Bank, South African president is going there, Angolan president is going there, prime ministers from different countries are going there, from Africa. And it is how we show up at this type of platforms that really matters. If we don't show that we are keen to participate and be able to have industries come to Namibia, then obviously other African countries will take up these opportunities. And we will continue doing the things we have been doing for the past 30 years, and we will not have to change anything. I tell you, the approach that we, if we continue doing the same things the same way we've been doing them, we will not foresee any change. And the numbers will keep increasing, whether it is poor standard living of our people, bad standard living of our people, whether it's unemployment, the figures of unemployment, they are not ceasing. And we have got a vision that we need to catch up with, Vision 2030. Yeah. This is the last administration that must get us to Vision 2030. If we don't get there, then we have not achieved that Vision 2030. And Vision 2030 has got so much aspirations that we can achieve, not just on the aspect of industrialization, but also when it comes to the standard of living for our people and in different areas, food security, energy security, industrialization at large, and also that we should be able not to be struggling with creating employment for our own people. Yeah. It should be really an issue of the past. And we can only do that if we appreciate everything that can generate not just jobs, but also value for our own minerals. And I also appreciate the approach of our current leadership to say that we are not hungry to send our minerals out of the country.
Yeah.
They must be processed here. And we are demonstrating as Green Hydrogen Program and the initiative at large how we can process our own minerals here. Iron ore.
Mm.
We can do the same with cement. We can do the same with lithium. We can do the same with so much. And we can do it as Namibians. We may need global skills, but we must also find a way. How do we speak to the world? If we speak to the world as vulnerable people, the world will take advantage of us.
Yeah.
But if we speak to the world with that boldness and that I have the resources. If you are coming to my country, this is what you have to adhere to. If not, it's best I can work with somebody else.
All right. Jonah, thank you so much for joining us today and shedding light on these pressing issues. It is conversation like this that help us all understand the road ahead and stay hopeful for about Namibia's green energy potential. So we appreciate your insight and the work you are actually doing to keep our ambitions alive. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So have a nice day. All right, that was Mr. Jonah Musheko, the spokesperson for the Green Hydrogen Program in Namibia. So, all right, so you are now most welcome to come through and have your reaction to our discussion. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So we are in the Ondangwa studio. So, all right.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she far, yai, she became what she wanna. E. Moyao, or Tango got some money. Anna, as she far, Yanamibia, on Bidom Banawa, or Jika. Seithanina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashifaregi uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So very good morning to you. Friday, it's a Friday morning. Friday is always very, very slow. Friday should be a day that actually, that gives a lot of people a vibe. You know, that can energize you a little bit because you're looking forward to the weekend. But for some reasons, it's always very, 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 very slow, in terms of reaction. Maybe people are thinking of other things. I don't want to mention here. So our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have a couple of minutes before we come to the end of the show at 10 o'clock. So you're most welcome to come through now and have your say and have your reaction to a number of things that we have actually talked about. The core of today's unpacking of what we have actually discussed is a recent report suggesting a significant significant hiccup, and Jonah well explained that, went into that and be able to explain that, but it claims a major German energy company, RWE, has pulled out or withdraw out of the deal, which, as I said, this was just a memorandum of understanding. It wasn't really a deal signed. It was just a question of looking at, you know, how do we move forward? But report has said, has pulled out of a deal to buy the green hydrogen, or rather its derivatives, ammonia. So, and that this project is set to produce, because those what this project is actually now set to produce. So, and Yeah. Well, this is not just about a business deal, you know, gone sour. So because as some people are kind of allude to, this is sparking a fierce debate also among other people, especially among the Nama traditional leaders. They are raising serious concern about indigenous rights, ancestral land, and whether this massive project is truly benefiting all Namibians. Those are some of the issues that are lingering in terms of the report that you probably have read or heard. And the company leading charge, the company in terms of this is the Hyphen Hydrogen Energy, which actually they won a government tender to develop this huge green hydrogen export hump or center, if you like. So, and this is then Namibia's chance. So this is Namibia's chance now to harness the sun and wind, you know, the resources that we have as a gift from Almighty, you know, and turn them into a clean fuel and sell it to the world so we consume and maybe sell it also to the world. So, and the scale, and as we have probably spoken, mentioned a bit of that, scale is mind-boggling. Because they aim to produce 1 million tons of green ammonia every year by 2027. So, and actually double that by 2029. So this is a big business. Should be a big business globally. So, yeah. Yeah, so now the whole issue then, now to sell this much, you need buyers. And this is what we're talking about, the off-takers contract or, you know. And that's where companies like the RWE, a German energy giant, you know, came in. So because you need the buyers. So, and these buyers are crucial. They are very crucial. We need them. Without them, the project doesn't make economic sense. You know, it can be, as we're talking about project viability that he was talking about. So the Ministry of Mine and Energy even announced not too long ago this non-binding agreement, which is or a memorandum of understanding, MOUs, with big players. There were some players that the Ministry of Mines and Energy have announced. So as an MOU, as we probably have seen and hear from Jonah as well, it's a step towards a deal. It's not a deal, you know. We're talking about the potential sales of hundreds of thousands of tons of ammonia. So, but it's not like, it's a commitment. It's not the final investment decisions. So that still have to happen. So, yeah. Maybe give you some context as well. Maybe other things that we didn't go really deeper into it with Jonah. So the Nama Traditional Leaders Association, the NTLA, along with some international human rights groups, say they have been told by RWE that they are out. So, and they are saying this withdrawal, according to them, is a confirmation of their fears. And their fears are deeply rooted, that they argue that this project is being built on ancestral land, on ancestral Nama land, right within the what is now called the Tau Kaib National Park. So, and it got sensitive. It got really sensitive. I think those are real issues. It shouldn't be pushed aside.
Those are real issues and should not be pushed aside. And as I said, it's very sensitive, and probably I also, this issue maybe I should have taken up with and tried to get people on that side as well, to hear their side as well. And and as I said, these are sensitive in terms of that, but these leaders are also in their discourse, they are drawing a parallel to Namibia's colonial past. You know, they speak of a land dispossession of indigenous people being pushed aside. And it's what also Jonah mentioned, that, you know, for this to go ahead, it requires everyone's, all stakeholders' involvement and consultations as well. So that was, he emphasized that. So, but they point out that this very area was a restricted zone under German colonial rule. So for them, seeing another large scale development, possibly without their full, according to them, without their full and meaningful consent, it feels like history actually repeating itself. I saw the letter that they have actually written. So I'm actually looking at that and bringing it in. We didn't go in too details in terms of that, but I'm just giving you a broader understanding or context of what is happening actually. So yeah, they are saying that this project violates their indigenous rights. And they are not just talking about land, they are also talking about cultural heritage, about belonging, you know? Yeah, so, well, please, if you have been listening to the interview, you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction, have your comment, and your contribution. So these are national issues, and we need your opinion. We need your perspective. What do you think about, you know, about some of these issues? Because definitely it affect our communities. It also affect development, and we need to discuss and to have this conversation. And as Jonah also mentioned, to have some kind of a balance, you know, if we want to develop this country. And now Hyphen, the company behind the project, I think they fired back. You know, their response is also very interesting. You know, they are saying, hold on a minute. So there was no, this was not a signed purchase agreement with, there was nothing like that. There was no signed purchase agreement with RWE. So there was some kind of an agreement. And that's what also, Musheko was talking about. There was some misleading, kind of informations. So they clarified that, what they had was just an MOU. A memorandum of understanding, and they explained that for a project of this size, MOU are a common starting point. You know, they are essentially agreement to what it means. Those are agreement to talk, you know, kind of like those are agreement to talk, agreement to explore possibilities and explore offtake, as I talked to him about that as well. But it's not a final kind of, it's not the FID, you know, the final investment decision. So it's not a binding contract to buy, as it were. So Hyphen team is calling the report of the RWE, as withdrawal actually misleading, so because there was no abiding contract to buy. It was just an agreement to talk, to explore the possibilities, and also to explore the offtake as well. So, yeah, what is your take? Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. You're most welcome to come through and have your comment and your take on that. Yeah, the I think hyphen also challenging the NTLA at the Nama traditional the NTLA representation. So hyphen suggests the association isn't unified, so that the voices speaking out might not represent the majority of chiefs. So there is also that concern that they are not unified. So, and then that voices might not be actually representing the majority of the people. So the Nama Traditional Leaders Associations might not be representing the majority of the people. So and they mention leadership dispute also. They mention leadership dispute within the Nama Traditional Leaders Associations. So, and this is a crucial point. It is a very crucial point when you have a dissent who speak for the community. Now, is it everyone or a few or who gets to decide who speaks? So that's as I said, that's a very crucial point as well. The reason why this is an emphasis is because it's very crucial to the project, because I even ask what would be the challenge, what are the challenge that would what could be the challenges for the green hydrogen program? And he also mentioned that could be also one of them. The reason why I'm placing an emphasis on this and talking about it is because that could be a challenge as well. If the community decided that we don't want this, you know, or they insist on the point that they are making, definitely this is not going to happen. So this is not over. There's so much, as much as that there's so much potential of what this can do, there's also much at stake as well of what this can become, you know? And also in the letter of the other, is it the press release of hyphen also defend the government position, stating that the land in question has been government land for over a century, under various administration. So they emphasize that traditional authorities are recognized and have a voice. So they say community have been consulted through extensive road shows. I think there have been some kind of road shows, and chiefs have attended events and participated in discussions. Yeah, but I have also an issue in terms of that. We know an example from also when it comes to oil and gas, something to, what is it, exploration in Kavango Basins, what happened. So when it comes to consultations, are these consultations truly effective? You know, are they just ticking boxes, or are they genuinely dialogues where concerns are heard and acted upon? So when a community feels their ancestral rights are at stake, consultations can feel very different from a consent. So those are some of the concerns, and we have seen this happening in some other communities as well. So, yes, you hear there has been consultations and all that, but what type of consultation that were? That they were. So, and also, hyphen is also throwing
a rather sharp accusation into the mix as well, where they said, well, there could be also fundraising motives. You know, there could be also fundraising motives. They suggest that some of the criticism is driven by the desire to secure international donor funding. So the implication that problems are being manufactured to attract, you know, to attract money. So this is a serious claim. And if it's true, it casts it's also cast shadow over the legitimacy of the concern raised as well. So if those are, or if those claims are true. But conversely, if genuine grievances are being dismissed as mere fundraising tactics, that's also a serious problem. So it risks silencing a legitimate voice, you know. So, yeah, those are just some of the issues in the background that you probably deserve to know. And sometimes when things turn out different in some distant future, we should be able to understand what are the issues and other things that that may contribute to the end, to whatever happened in the end. Yeah, so all right, so our time is about 29 minutes past the hour of 9, and so we had a discussion, conversation with Jonah Musheko, the spokesperson for the Green Hydrogen Program in Namibia. And yeah, so we'll go. We'll come back after this commercial.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple.
ShopRite, we've got everything you need for baby and more at the lowest prices. Save big on baby essentials like Lovey's disposable nappies or pants, all variants from $139.99 per pack. And 500 grams Nestle Nestum regular wheat or maize baby cereal at just $54.99 each. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save big on deals for baby. Prices valid until 5 October 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust always.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
A very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, we have been talking about the RWE, a German company that has been part of the hyphen hydrogen project, green hydrogen project, and they have somehow announced their withdrawal from the project, and that has been, you know, a concern of many people to see, that has created some concern in certain quarters and among Namibian people who have been promised, you know, what happened to the jobs that we have been promised, you know, if this is what is happening. And we called in, we have Musheko coming in just to give us a little bit insight and shed lights to what is happening and where we are with green hydrogen
And so, and what are the immediate actions that that will be taken, or that we are, where are we in terms of all these issues that being said in the media or in anywhere else? All right. So yeah, and if we look at the numbers, we look at number, we have these MOU from February 2023. For up to 750,000 tons of green ammonia annually, and one deal, 500,000 tons with a major chemical company, and another 250,000 tons with the Korean hydrogen producers as well, and then the MOU with then with RWE for up to 300,000 tons a year. So this way, presented as a significant step, vital for the project's global export strategy. So, and now, if the RWE MOU was indeed just an initial step, a talk, as Hyphen claims, then this withdrawal might not be a death knell, you know, if you like, for the project itself. But interesting thought is that, but it is a death knell for the narrative that all the major buyers are locked in, because there has been that narrative, you know. And it introduces uncertainty, you know. It introduces uncertainty. So, and as we know, uncertainty is the enemy of big investment. And for us here, we made sure that, you know, we bring in people to get that, you know, to be sure of what of where of what are the information, and what are you, how to be clear of where we are. So, but it also amplifies the concerns of those who were already worry about a green hydrogen, you know, project. So, and I think this is what we need to consider, Namibians. Firstly, the nature of these deals, you know, memorandum of understanding, are excellent, are excellent for starting conversations, you know, are excellent for starting conversation, for showing intent, you know, they're just, but for a project of this magnitude, are they enough, you know, are they enough really? Are they being presented to the public with a full clarity that they are not yet binding, you know, commitment? So that's very good, because the impression that we many people, when you talk to, they don't understand the MOU in that way. They kind of like feel that these are, and that's probably why there's that misleading, as they said, as the Hyphen said, that it's misleading, is because, you know, then how are they presented to the public? So was it fully, you know, clear that they are not yet binding commitments? So when the government announced MOU, there's an expectation of solidifying agreement, isn't it? There is that expectation. So it's still actually disappointing when it comes to, you know, having one of the partner actually withdrawing, even if there were no fully, you know, agreement that are binding. The other thing is also the indigenous land right that also comes up. This is not a new issue in Namibia. I think it's not a new issue in Namibia. Our history is complex. Marked by land disputes and the legacies of colonialisms. So when a project is proposed on a land with historical significance to specific community, how are these rights genuinely protected? It's very, very important as well. So otherwise we would have issues, we would have problems. And is consultation enough? Or is free, prior, and informed consent the standard we should be aiming for? You know,
where it's not just dictated, you know. The other time I've given an example of what was the story in was it in Otapi or whatever. So I said, when consultation, sometimes you have, you know, these technical people coming up, do a power presentation. It's in English. And then, you know, that's it. Any questions? You wouldn't even know what to ask because you have no clue. You have no idea what has been spoken. And that's being ticked off as a consultation, you know? That is being ticked off as a consultation. And how do we ensure that, you know, benefit of this green, for example, project truly trickle down, you know, to local communities? Those are issues, and not just to the international corporation that are investing, and could be some of the few people that are involved, you know. And that is a trend that is too familiar to many of the of Namibians. A very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, so is that James that you were intervening? Because I did not hear your conclusion at the...
No. That's Jonah Musheko.
Oh, it was Jonah Musheko, and he speaks the same language like James.
Yeah, no, that's...
So, thank you very much. We listened to him yesterday, and today he really went deep.
Yeah.
And it's good to have with him maybe more on that side.
That's unpacking the day, so we go deeper a little bit. Yeah.
Because I know that we have a lot of misunderstanding and misconception.
Yeah.
So actually resulting from the maybe our not knowing. But when you now look at anything that happens, especially constructions,
yeah.
Because, like you said, many of us, we are all aware, we have little knowledge of constructions, and even if we are not artisans by training, so we have really done a lot. Even those street companies that he's talking about,
yeah.
What more if they now decentralize and all these other things they are taking place here, especially in the rural areas, where the schools need to be constructed, the churches, the whatever.
Yeah.
Early childhood development, they are lacking in community. There is a lot of job to be done.
Yeah.
And these things, the only concern I have is sometimes when it comes to this construction and all this other job, they leave most of our women outside.
Yeah.
So they are also there, and we have got an experience of TPEG that came. So you find most of the men are there. And I don't know, maybe it's because the nature of the job, sometimes it's just the overall, the dressing,
exactly.
Which are not also suitable to favor the gender aspect.
Yeah, sometimes it's also, women have also preference of career. Not many of them really would love to go into those career that, you know,
that's the thing again, and there's money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those things, they start with technical, just like technical courses. You find so many women there. And it's only, you know, and then like I said, one of our instructors was a lady. And he was in fact welding and fabrication.
Yeah.
You don't go there. But what I want to say is that the opportunities that Mr. Musheko was talking about, let's really, honestly speaking, organize ourselves. I don't know, people are, if you ask the youth, most of these youth, many of few of them, they have not submitted their proposal. Yeah. So collaboration that you were asking, that yes, it's very, very, very crucial. People don't collaborate. Oh, it was, I think, that the question came during that Johnny Walenga.
Yeah.
So, but let's mobilize ourselves, and we are hearing those things that are coming, and they are already there. Anything, maybe you just to expand your company. That's why they came up with the main aim was to expand your company, your existing company. And there are existing structures that are there that we can follow, and many other, even those who want to come up with a new company, let's do that.
Yeah.
If we fail from there, then we can then come and start complaining.
Yeah. No, we need these legitimate
complaints.
Yeah.
And concern, but sometimes they paralyze the visions and the ideas and the aspiration of many people who really want to do something.
Then it's not constructive. If it's paralyzing the vision, then it's not constructive. Definitely.
I'm talking from our own opinion, the way we disinform, the way we communicate information, and many things. If you go around there, people will tell you, no, the things you are not seeing, you are seeing all this even the project that was just listened to there.
Yeah.
People were still misinforming each other, especially because of the political reason.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for coming, sir.
Well, that's why we say you must listen to Eagle FM. Make your Eagle FM your number one choice, because here we will bring you, the story unfiltered, just as it is. Straight from the way it is, unfiltered. That's what we do here. Yeah. So yeah, no, we learn it from the boss. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So please do come through. You may come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. We are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, and a very good morning to you. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 9, and we still have about 15 and 16 minutes before we come to the end of the show. So do engage me. So what was I talking about? I was just giving you a little bit of a background. Certain things maybe that we never really much cover on in the interview also, but they are in the background. There are some issues that are in the background, just to give you a broader understanding of what is going on. And when we also talking about with this issue, we also talk about the role of international partners and the NGOs. As we know, the NTLA is working with groups like the Society of Threatened Peoples, the European Center for Constitutional and Human Rights, and others. So, you just look at that as well. And these are organizations with a track record of advocating for human rights. And they are they partner in a genuine, now this is a question, this is what we need to think, and I normally throw those questions for us to think and deliberate, so not really questioning the legitimacy of such organization, but are they partner in a genuine effort to protect indigenous rights as they claim, or as Hyphen suggests, are they perhaps driven by other agendas, like securing fund for their own operations? That could be as well. So we are driven by some agendas. We all have, bosses or whatever, or aligning. We all align with certain institution or whatever the case may be. So it's a right to ask. We have a right to ask that is this a genuine claim, or it is driven by some agendas as well? So, well, it's a tough question. So, and we need to look at the evidence with critical eye. So it's not just, and this is what we do here on Unpacking. We don't just consume. We look at it and kind of, torn it apart and look at it more deeper. So where does this leave us? Where does actually this whole thing leave us? Chona spoke a bit in terms of what towards the end, what he hoped to happen, and we have a government championing a massive green hydrogen project.
you know, seeing it as a key. They see it, the government sees it as a key to Namibian future economic prosperity. So that's what the government is actually championing. And we have a development company, Hyphen, for example, pushing forward, you know, emphasizing their progress and dismissing concern, as we have seen some of those as misinformation. So, and then on the other side, we also have traditional leaders and international groups raising red flags about indigenous rights and historical injustices. So they claim that the RWE, you know, has withdrawn from a deal, and hyphen rebuttal that no firm deal existed, and highlight the fine print in these international agreements. So it shows that what is announced publicly might not always reflect the full, and that's why I'm going behind, you know, the scenes, you know, in the background to give you some more flesh. Is it flesh or fresh? Flesh. I'm a Kwanyama, so that's why we always don't distinguish between R and L, you know. So yeah. Go behind behind the scene to give you a flesh over on the meat, on the bones. So, yeah, as is always said, you know, what is announced publicly, you know, might not always reflect the full, complex reality of the negotiations. And that's why we sometimes bring in people who can give us a more, yeah, they're signed. So the story is far from over, definitely. It's a powerful reminder that progress, especially large scale development, it's really simple. It's not that simple. So it demands that we, as Namibians, ask, you know, really tough questions. Yeah, so, and yeah, let's get to the caller. A very good morning to you.
Hello, pick up that ham jack which I'm leaving this, please. Oh, sorry, Mike. I don't know that I'm through. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right.
I was actually looking around. Pick up what? You know?
No.
I said, you know, it's
sorry, man. You know when you miss this job, it's like you miss the breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't eat the whole. Something is telling you that you know.
Yeah.
Something of the body you didn't eat.
You didn't eat.
That's
yeah.
How it is.
It's,
yeah.
It's a daily bread, you know.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a daily bread.
Yeah.
Oh, I was also replaying it because where I am, there's no network.
Oh.
I got all these some of them, but like the way
RWE.
The withdrawal.
Yeah.
And if there was a memorandum, MOU, then we're serious. There's a concern.
Yeah.
Especially to ask some of laymen like me.
Yeah.
Because why they, the company here did not even release their statement, why they are withdrawing?
But they have.
They have?
Yeah. They said, well, the demand of hydrogen, it's not picking up as they thought it would. Yeah.
Oh, it's not the way.
Yeah.
And some of us were having a question, like, when it comes to, because remember, Trump also said something about it.
Yeah.
And now these things are coming out like this. So, it's really a concern when it comes to a grenade.
It is a concern. It's not something, I mean, anyone who downplaying it, if anyone who is downplaying it, definitely you are not doing justice. To the people and to the public, you know, you have to face the issues where you can say, well, it's a possibility, even with other offtake contract that we may have. There are those who still, this is MOU where people are still explore, where people are still talk. In the end, you may not still have a final investment decision from some of these off takers. So some of these buyers, they may decided no. no, I'm not interested, whatever the reason might be, you know. And the more, as we move, things change. Like they like also what Mosheko was saying also is that, look, we also have to change. We have to change things. We realize that we cannot actually transport the hydrogen in the way as a product. We have actually to process it to become like ammonia, so that that could be able to be used to do certain things. You understand?
Yeah.
So, and that would require investment as well. It's not as simple as that. Oh, we have changed courses. Now we're doing this. Doing that, you need money. You need investment. And sometimes, where do you get investment? So there are challenges. It's not just as simple as, okay.
Well, the way I was also listening at the broadcast is that, when he was talking about, windmill would need to be transported and what, and also, I'm wondering now, like, we have a VTC graduate, and, up to now, we are not teaching our boys and girls how to install those windmills.
Yeah.
Because they say now, when he was talking also, they say, they send what? How many students? 160 something.
100.
Which I think is a, drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
If you are talking about massive project like the one which you are referring to, hydrogen.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be done. Yeah. And I'm looking at the,
but I think
the way
they,
we are sending,
they do it with caution. I think I can also understand where you, as I said, the feasibility study will be finished in December. You understand? And the feasibility study would also then
determine
even for the for investors as well. They will also decide, okay, should I go ahead with this or whatever. So they are being cautious, and that being cautious is actually very good to say, okay, we can't just now massively just, you know, send
investing
know, and I think there are stages where they can look at, okay, you know, now we can invest this number of people in we can train this number of people, because we will immediately need this number of people being trained, and then over time go into another stages where they can do that. I think that's being cautious and being diligent. I think that's, I would say, don't spend your money and then later you realize now you have people without jobs. You know?
Things are not working out.
Or things have changed. And because this is it's a moving, what is it? You know, anything, this is, things
anything
are changing every day. Yeah, things are changing almost every day. You know?
Yeah. And for me also, my concern is when it comes to community. Why? It's like they never consulted the community before.
Yeah.
Oh, what is happening? Because you cannot tell me the concern group just realized from nowhere to start demanding that this is, because I think really public concern was not be done. Regarding the community where they live. Maybe, the project was going to take place. Because it's very worrisome for now. We are almost final stage or second stage where the things are supposed to happen. And now people are coming to less this consent group and the European what. Because these things are not, we are just, I think we are just too much when it comes to it. But it's been done in South Africa.
Yeah.
That is doing it. It's not like really something happened for the first time. It's already happening in South Africa where people are extracting even ammonia and what. And I remember one thing that, you know, when it comes to ammonia even, I think, and it's where I'm even saying that our students, they are not really being taught. Because now it's a hard time even we're supposed to do. You know that ammonia is the one which we are putting in our fridge. And sometimes it can be used also as what? What do you call that? This it can be used a lot of things, even in alcohol. I think.
Yeah, there are so many things that you can do with that. Yeah.
And now we have what are you saying is OL or something? What did they?
I don't know.
They are sipping to. It's there a lot. I think come from this green hydrogen. And for us, I think it's a hard time. Even though maybe the people are like now they are drawing, discouraging others. For us, we can continue.
One can look at the also. One can look at how maybe if internationally, which actually internationally, there's still a demand in many of these, not maybe necessarily in green hydrogen as a product itself, but in any other product that there are a lot of demand in the world. But even that. We can also do that on the level where we can actually produce not only for Namibia, but for, he was talking about South Africa. You were talking about South Africa.
Yeah.
There's so much demand in South Africa for this, you know? And even regionally, let alone talk about in the world, Europe or something like, just regionally, you know, there are markets for this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying no, we cannot just abandon the project. No. I think even if they withdraw, we can do it by our standards.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest hindrance or hurdles, if you like, is it's understanding, you know?
It's
understanding, and that's why sometime we like to bring people here and really go deeper into certain issues, rather than just, you know, follow the headlines in the papers.
The headline, yeah. We are getting from the media.
Yeah.
Those guys, they never make it, because every time, we're grateful for them to come on platform.
Yeah.
But sometimes they may just come willingly without getting invited.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, because their information are kept secret. And this is a problem where we are, we are doubting this project. But we know exactly, but we don't have much detail when it comes to the project.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But they don't give also enough information when it comes to media and information selling to when it comes to public.
Yeah. The potential of green economy is massive.
Very much.
It's massive. It's only, If we have information and if there are also political will, that's very, very, very important as well.
Yeah.
You know, and we are willing to invest in that, the green financing, locally as well, which is coming up slowly by slowly. You know, there are our financial institutions are starting to invest in green financing. And it's good to see that there is that progress, but it need to be intensified. Information is everything. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, Mike, why I'm saying so? Because now, even our business people who are having money, resources to do that, they can invest in when once they're having information. But when information is kept away from them, the people who are learning the what? Forefront of the project, they're always just talking about foreign investment.
Yeah.
Now, I think we can grow in local. Our people can participate.
I think there's a tendency in any field anyway. I remember when I was more involved in health, you know, you tend to learn the jargon of that industry, and you tend to think that everybody understand what you
understand it exactly.
and you kind of like when you talk, you think that, you know, people can just pick it up, you know, just as simple as you are,
because you are
in that environment, you breathe and eat, and you know, this is what you do every day. First of all, this is not interest of any other people, and hearing it already, you know, they switching off, it takes that kind of effort, really massive effort, you know, to be able to penetrate people's mind and attitude, which is also very important, you know.
Very much.
Yeah, to change.
What you are saying is true. Mm. Okay, I see we are running out of the time.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Mike. Sorry to come late anyway. No, I was so busy with something, man.
It's all right. I mean, so let's have a good weekend, man. Yeah.
Okay, same to you, man.
All right. All right, a very
Good morning, and that's bring us actually to the end of unpacking the day. That's all what we have for you this morning. It has been slow this morning. I don't know why. Very, very slow this morning. Friday is always like that. I don't know. It's gone quiet. It goes quiet most of the time on Friday. So anyway, let me say thank you for those who come through, and also for, I know you're listening, for listening and for always following our programs. Continue to do this, as there's another program that is coming up, which is very, very, very important program as well, full of information and insight on various issues. Coming up is Kuthamosha with that Franz. I'm going to leave you in the good hands, and we are crossing to Windhoek. From me, Michael Chiavelli, let's talk to each other again. Let's meet again on the same frequency, on the same station, at the same time, next week on Monday. For me, have a great weekend ahead.
Get social with us.